Doom do 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 do. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 51 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends. Hi, I hope you loved last week's interview on the Marantaceae family with the New York Botanical Garden. And plant friends, today is a special, exciting episode because you've heard me talk about my plant co-parent on this podcast. You've probably seen him in our Botanicals and Booze Happy Hour Insta Story series on my Instagram, or maybe you've seen him featured in the recent Wally Grow install in my Insta Story. Thank God for his ability to use a drill because I don't know how to. And now, my plant friends, it's time for me to officially introduce you to not only the love of my life, but my partner in plants, my plant co-parent, Billy Morrissey. I've been thinking about having Billy on the podcast for a while now because, you know, this past year and a half has been huge for me, leaving my plant killer ways, becoming a crazy plant lady, building this urban jungle that I love and live in. But it's also been a whirlwind for my live-in boyfriend, Billy. He has been there every step of the way as I've built this urban jungle and as I built this podcast. And let me tell you, plant friends, although the process has been magical and I wouldn't change one thing about it, it definitely has not been the easiest on our relationship. Billy has had this intense hobby of mine just thrust upon him. And over the past year or so, I'd like to think that we have learned a lot about how to manage my newfound passion while still having a healthy relationship and a happy and uncluttered planty home. So, plant friends, this episode isn't necessarily for you. How funny is that? It's actually for your partners. It's for your friends. It's for your roommates, the people in your lives that indirectly benefit, or at least I hope that they would say benefit and they wouldn't say suffer, from our planty hobby. Billy and I have had so many conversations about how we've kind of grown through this newfound hobby over the last couple of years while having this urban jungle, and he's prepared a bunch of really amazing tips that he wants to share with you about what he's learned along the way in dealing with my 0-60 planty explosion in our apartment. The ups and downs, if we would say. So I'd love for you to share this episode with those people who share your space, maybe other people you might know that are struggling with this. But I know I said that this episode isn't for you, but obviously it is. I hope it inspires you to take a minute and admire and respect those in your space who embrace your hobby with open arms. And maybe this episode will inspire some fun ideas for projects that you and your partners and roommates can do together in the future to bloom and grow together instead of separately. Quick reminder that today is the deadline for the submission for the plant fail lessons episode that I'd love to feature you in. I am just beaming over all of the submissions we've gotten. It's so fun to hear all of your stories and all of your different accents that you have. And it's just so fun to hear your voices after knowing that you've been along the journey with me. Instructions for how to participate are in the show notes and on my Instagram. I just love to hear a story or a lesson that you've learned from a plant fail that you've had. Let's just share our stories and tips with this amazing community. And now, before I introduce you to the man I love, I want to introduce you to a product I love and the sponsor of this episode, Wally Grow. So, I hope you caught my Wally Grow Vertical Garden green wall install on my Insta stories. If you didn't, you can head over to Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram and check the pinned story section to see how ridiculously easy it was to transform my boring white living room wall into the green wall of my dreams. Wally Grow is a vertical garden company that is home to the Eco Planter, which is what I installed on my wall, but they have plenty of indoor and outdoor options for pretty much any wall scenario that you might have in your home or patio or outdoor space. Their planters come with all the hardware you need and only require drilling one hole in your wall per planter. Seriously, it's that easy. The leak-proof containers that are made from 100% recycled plastic milk jugs have perforated holes in the front to promote optimal root health with natural aeration. One of the things that I love about the Wally Grow vertical wall systems is that if you're in a place where you want to increase your plant collection in a healthy way, but you might not have the floor space like me who lives in 500 square feet, the Wally Grow planters are such an amazing option to continue to build your collection vertically without even touching your floor space. So we have 12 4-inch planters of plants on our wall that never touch our floor. And you can do what we did, which is plant up the actual eco planters with soil, or you could keep plants in other planters and almost use the ecos as wall storage for your plants, and then you can rotate plants in and out of the planters based on seasonality or whatever kind of mood you're in. So, plant friends, the single planter start at $19.99 and the four-pack start at $59.99, but Wally Grow is offering Bloom and Grow Radio listeners a whopping 20% discount at checkout by using the code BLOOM20. That's BLOOM20. So, plant friends, visit wallygrow.com and check out all of their indoor and outdoor options. Get some inspiration from their Instagram at Wally Grow and use the code BLOOM20 at checkout for 20% off. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. All right, here's Billy. Billy, welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio, finally.
This is crazy.
I know. It only took 50 episodes to get you on the show. You'd think that maybe I'd be a little bit more generous and have you come on before 50 episodes.
No, I mean, honestly, it's kind of working out perfectly, just timing-wise. I think that where Bloom and Grow is, it's this awesome thing that it's grown into, and I just kind of feel flattered, really, to be on.
I'm so excited for the listeners to hear your nice, deep, beautiful voice.
It's on the deeper side. So turn your bass down, I guess.
So I do think it's perfect that we waited this long to have you on the show because we now blew past 1 year of successful plant co-parenting.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where when it first started, you know, sometimes people have little phases where they get into something for a little bit. I mean, I think I've had probably the most phases out of the two of us in this house, having golfing phases and, you know, woodworking phases and all these different things. But it took on a whole different life of its own. And I think that's how you identify a true passion. And so to get to watch you kind of lead this charge. Yeah, Bloom and Grow. How many times can you get me to say that on this?
Like 500 times.
But yeah, it's really rewarding to watch. It's one of those things that I think is incredibly earnest. And so to get to be asked about it on the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast is pretty damn cool.
So I think I want to start this conversation off just by saying a few thank yous to you.
Oh, God.
So first off, for those listening, Billy actually co-wrote the theme song to Bloom and Grow Radio with me. And the theme song is actually quite polarizing amidst the audience. I have people write in and say that they absolutely hate it. But for the most part, I have people who write in that say they love it and their kids sing it. And it's a little bit of an earworm. So Billy, thank you for being part of that creation. You can also hear Billy in the theme song. He does sing it with me. And number two, I want to say thank you for going on this ride with me. I mean, it's been a really wild year, a little bit over a year. I've definitely been extremely difficult in the process. I have not been an angel.
Just getting ahead of that one.
I have not, and we can definitely air some of that dirty laundry because I'm sure that a lot of my plant friends are in the same boat. And you have just been such a support, and also sometimes when it didn't feel supportive because you were putting me on a plant pause or you were like holding a mirror up to my face about some of my behaviors. And I'm so excited for us to kind of just dive into what the year has looked like for us as a couple living in 500 square feet and me losing my darn mind about plants. And all of a sudden, I mean, we did the count yesterday and we're actually up to 80 something.
So the two behind the scenes things for listeners that I think they should know about. The first one is about the song. And I don't know if you've shared like how that song came about, but we are incredibly goofy when we're at our best.
The goofiest.
And there's something about when we go on date night, which is, you know, we do like progressive dinner where we go to three or four different really awesome restaurants and you share my excitement about food and the culinary world. And we're walking down the street in Brooklyn and it's a beautiful day. And we very often like to hum or make up weird noises.
Billy also has a degree in opera. So Billy's a singer. He doesn't sing professionally anymore, but Billy has an amazing voice and we're both very musical.
Well, thank you. I like to play the bass line. It's been very, very cool. So we wrote that just walking down the street because we were excited to go get food.
Strolling around Brooklyn in the summer.
We're going to Olmsted. Restaurant.
Shout out to Olmsted.
Seriously.
Yeah. And if anybody's looking for a good date night, progressive dinner where you do like an appetizer at one restaurant and then another appetizer at another restaurant and then, you know, pick a neighborhood. It's a fun way to get to know a neighborhood.
You get surprised.
Pro eater tip, yeah. Because we're professional eaters pretty much.
You get surprised when you're full. So like, you may have three or four restaurants, but you may just be at one and it's just way too good. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to stop here.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about, what were we talking about? I just think that, just about, you know, living together in this space, it's really been a surprising joy to kind of get past the initial shock and awe because
there was a period of shock.
It was shock. shock and awe, it doesn't happen immediately. It's shock and then a couple months later, awe. Uh-huh. And I think that that's part and parcel with the way that you attack life. And I think that that's one of the things that attract me to you the most because I think that if you don't do something all the way, what's the point in really doing it?
Full out.
Yeah.
And as the performers say, for
any listeners, Maria does not do anything half-ass. It's very earnest and very kind of true to who you are, which is one of the reasons why.
Thanks, love.
I like doing this.
So why don't we start, now that my thank yous are out of the way, with I tell my side of the story on the show and in interviews all the time.
Wait.
So I'd love to hear before. So Billy has prepared a list of tips, pro tips, living with a crazy plant lady or a botanical bro. I want everyone to share these tips with their partners because they're great. Before we dive into the practical tips, I would love to hear your side of the story of what the process of the growth, for lack of a better word, of our apartment has looked like for you in the last year and change. Oh, Limey just turned on. Good morning, Limey. Good morning, Lemony. So every morning, the Soltech Solution light is on a timer and it turns on and turns off. And it's very funny because in my conversation with Alessia a few episodes back, the light turned off in the middle of our conversation. And when the light turns off, Billy and I say goodnight to Lemony and Limey.
Maria says
goodnight.
And by Billy and I
mean I say goodnight. And so now the light just turned on. So I had to wish them a very good morning. Okay. Now, Billy.
So
actually, tell me about your
experience. That's a really good lead-in. It's a lot of. So it starts off, there's three separate stages. The first was the curiosity. And you're naturally a very curious person, which is a wonderful characteristic because you need to be curious just to learn new things. And it's just a really important characteristic and something that I hold in very high regard. So when you started to get curious about plants, it was one of those things where I was kind of sitting back and being like, okay, are we going to get a couple of succulents and then she's going to let them die and then we're going to lean back and kind of try something else? Because I...
Because you'd seen me kill plants in my other apartments too.
Yes, I have. And well, also that, you know, I have to take a lot of ownership here because I think that one of the things that I've learned is that I had my own ideas about how I wanted the house to look. Mm-hmm. And we were just moving in with each other. Yeah. And there was a lot, and I had most of the things because I had lived in a 2,100 square foot apartment prior to that. And so, you know, I was building out this, this home and trying to make it as homey as I possibly could, but I didn't realize that I was filling in a lot of the extra space, to let you kind of put your own stamp on it and make it our home. So the first point was curiosity, and I looked at it with a lot of curiosity as well. And then the wave came.
So, right. So it was curiosity with mm-hmm. the herbs. That's pretty much where it started.
Yeah. Curiosity with just a couple of succulents and a couple of herbs.
Yeah, the jade and the windowsill and the herbs.
Well, see, but already that started the craziness mm-hmm. because once the jade came in, we have a little 3-pot box that I actually bought. Yeah. It was just a nothing little pot set. And I was going to grow a couple of herbs in there because I wanted fresh herbs for cooking. And all of a sudden they were commandeered and plants were given homes in them. And, you know, now all of a sudden the wave is here. And that was a part where it was hard to deal with at first because I have aspirations of minimalism.
Yes.
And I, at that point, didn't realize how much plants sort of fit into that operating system. And so I was seeing all of these spaces that I had once thought of as clear spaces where I could put a book down or a coffee cup, as now homes for living things. And I...
Okay, like all of our tables.
Yeah. All of our tables, you know, things that I built. And, you know, all of a sudden my desk had a plant on it, even though I had explicitly said 8 times, there's no plants on my desk.
Oh, that was a big... Yeah, that was a big fight.
You know, it was one of those things where that was the shock part. And I remember
You know what was even was an even bigger moment?
What's when that?
So I got this neon pothos and I thought it would look so beautiful. Billy has a really nice desk that's really fancy stained wood and iron bars, very masculine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this pretty pothos would be a trailing plant. It would be so beautiful. And I'm a little bit messy. And one day I watered the plant. I didn't take the plant off of the desk. I reached to water the plant. And overwatered the plant and the water spilled on top of
everything I had.
Your papers.
Yeah. So.
And I got in trouble.
She did get in trouble.
That was also, I think, at the breaking point of you being really overwhelmed with all the plants I was bringing home.
Yeah. A lot of it was, you know, there's this frenzy part where you first get started with plants and then the thoughtfulness comes in. And I think that was the last thing. And that's what led to the awe. I saw you make a pretty clear shift from, you know, watering with abandon on any surface that didn't matter if there was a plug right next to it, you're going to water the damn
just
plant right there.
Taking a hose and just spraying it.
Just a fire hose to our apartment. And I had a problem with that. I'll admit that. And I think that that one was warranted. So, you know, kind of encouraging, well, not even encouraging, straight out asking you to, you know, take plants off of things and water them so that they don't leave wood, you know, water rings on nice wood and stuff like that. I felt a little weird asking about that stuff. And I felt like I wasn't being as supportive as I possibly could be. And at that point, I was a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. But then...
Rightfully so. I was not being my best self in that moment either.
Well, it's also, for all the listeners, one of the best parts about loving a passionate person is that they go into a direction and they don't stop. One of the toughest parts about loving a passionate person is that if that direction is pointed towards you or counter to any of your interests, you're in for a war. Thankfully, mm-hmm. you know, we're both very passionate people. So that's something that we're able to kind of get through. But that last part was the calm after the storm. And that was when I was sitting on the couch and I've always had a hard time with the New York air quality. I grew up by the water and I like that freshness that you get. And I remember walking into the house on a hot day and the air just smelling so much cleaner and lighter. And I sat on the couch and I had a cup of coffee and I was looking at the lime plant. And that's when I went, I think I finally get this. I understand how there's a lot more beauty in the perceived chaos. And so it was really, really nice. And that's how it all really started.
Oh,
yeah.
I have a couple follow-up questions for you. So I also feel like looking back, I'm being very negative about how awful I was in this process. I wasn't a total bear. But I think the biggest issue with us, especially starting out because it was such a surprise to you, was that our threshold numbers for how many plants we wanted was very different. At that point, mine was unlimited. I mean, I could have brought 400 plants home.
You didn't have a threshold, yeah.
And I feel like maybe yours was like
20.
20. So I think when we hit that 20 amount, and that's
we never actually hit that amount. I remember when we went from 18 to 22 because you came back with four plants.
Yeah, I think that you're right that we had very different expectations and a very different threshold number for what we were comfortable with. And then we, because I was so passionate and at that point, full out, listen to Your Brain on Plants, the episode that I did with the neuroscientist. I mean, I was in a full out dopamine rush, bringing home so many plants that I couldn't really stop. And I think at that moment, I wasn't listening to you about what you wanted, and you weren't really necessarily listening to me. And then we had this moment of when we started listening and then starting building, instead of me just building the collection on my own and you kind of like holding your breath, watching me do that, I feel like we did hit a moment where we were like, okay, let's build this together. The other thing I wanted to say was, I do feel like Limey was a big transition for you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about your passion and friendship with Limey?
Well, yeah, I mean, so it kind of ties into two distinct periods. And I can remember this so clearly because obviously it's only a year ago since this all really started, which is kind of crazy when you sit back.
I know.
The first was the plant pause. And that was me getting to a point where I did not think it was a good idea to have another plant in the house. And that was around, I think that was around 50 or 60
plants.
Yeah,
I was going to say like 40 or 50.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. If you guys are listening and if you're paying very close attention, any number that she says in reality, it's 10 to 15 more. And she'll pitch any number that I say is 10 less. So I said 50 to 60.
She's negotiation tactics.
No, it's just obfuscation of the truth. So really, there was a point where I was overwhelmed. And it was something that I was not confident that these would be, you know, I didn't want dead plants in the house. I liked having the plants that were alive, but I thought we were reaching the threshold of what we could really take care of. And I was worried about the light in the house and all sorts of different things. Really, I was just
You were starting to feel like a little suffocated or overcrowded.
Definitely.
Because we also hadn't built in a lot of, you know, tiered shelving and utilization of the wall space. And we didn't have grow lights at that point. So it was really just like plants on every surface. There was no like intention behind it.
And there was also plants on places where I had said like 12 times, no plants on, no plants on that space next to the TV or something like that. And so that was a tough moment because I looked at the whole situation and I had to come to you and I had to say, hey, listen, no more plants. We need to hold off and we need to kind of wait and see what happens here. And that allowed, I think, both of us to kind of rework and retool the environment around the plants that already existed because I had asked for you to not bring any more in. You were moving all of the plants you already had around like little chess pieces. You were reorganizing and fixing. And that kind of led to me saying that I wanted one specific plant, but I didn't want to take care of it. I wanted it to be yours. And I wanted to kind of lobby it as, okay, you can have this one extra plant. And that plant was a lime tree. I wanted to have fresh limes because limes are delicious, but I didn't want to be responsible for it. I wanted to do two things. I wanted to allow you to have another plant. And at the same time, take that gesture of goodwill and get what I already knew was a pretty tenuous plant pause and try to get a couple more months out of it. And that was one of those things. But the moment that we brought it home, it's such a weird looking tree. And it's kind of Dr. Seussian in a lot of ways. Like it's got these weird arms that go all over the place. Or I guess branches.
And it grows fruit, which is like the most magical experience to watch too. I think you got excited.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
watching those limes grow.
It started with a mojito. You know, I came home and I picked a lime off of our lime tree. And, you know, we watch a lot of the Anthony Bourdain's and the salt, fat, acid, heat and all these great cooking shows. And
if you haven't figured it out, we love food.
Seriously.
Big but time.
If you ever watch when a chef cuts into a lime and you get like the essential oils and go pfft, and it like comes out of the, like when it cuts through and the skin releases all those awesome like aromas and flavors and stuff. I had never seen an actual lime that I bought at a grocery store do that.
Yeah.
I'd done the roll it out so you get the juices and all that kind of stuff. But when I cut into that lime, it literally made that noise. It made that pfft noise that was really exciting. And the lime was one of the best limes I had ever had in my entire life. And at that point, I was pot committed. It was just, listen, these can bring me a lot of joy. And I found my little keyhole through which I could kind of get into the world.
So I think this is very interesting on two parts. So, and this is for the crazy plant people listening too, because just hearing you talk about this experience is really interesting for me as well. So in that time, Like I said, the beginning of the experience, we were having very separate experiences of this new hobby that I was having. And the plant pause is the first time you reached out and you said, listen, I need you to stop. Like, we need to really take a pause because this is not feeling healthy. And let's just pause and make sure we can like manage the plants that we have. Let's make sure they all are in good spots. Let's learn more about them and move forward. And I think that at that moment, that was the first time I really, I think, heard you, because as the correction was growing, you were saying, okay, Maria, I really don't know if we needed it. Oh, you got another plant. I really don't know if we needed that. But there was never like a real clear-cut conversation. And that big plant pause conversation was the first time I feel like I really heard you and decided, okay, I'm going to like turn towards him. We're going to go on a plant pause, even though I think I'm like creating a podcast about houseplants and like everything in me was like, no, I want to keep growing. I want to keep getting plants. I was like, no, let's do this. And then all of a sudden, because I was engaging in the plant pause, I think you saw me give that gesture to you. And all of a sudden that kind of opened you up to being more open to plants.
Maybe. I mean,
because all of a sudden it was something we were doing together. Would you agree?
Actually, I kind of had a different view on it.
Okay.
I think it was allowing the plants that we actively had to, I guess, metaphorically and realistically put down roots, because it was just seedlings. It was just like plants everywhere. Right. And it was.
Okay. So to make them feel like actually part of our home.
Yeah. They had
to give them their spots in the place and find out what works for them.
And that's my big thing. There's
my
an
idea was a little
nature.
More romantic.
Yeah.
That's how I'm still going to choose to look at it. But
well, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I just think that, you know, when this happened, it was one of those things where, you know, we have figured out a way to have a relationship that works from thousands of miles away when you're on tour, when I work crazy hours and, you know, I'm all over the place. And there was something about that shared space that the idea of having those plants complement the space was something that really appealed to me. But having just plants
but in
the
way.
Right. And like if I had to walk from the bedroom to our kitchen and I kicked over a plant and I accidentally killed it. And that was a part of it too. Like I always lived in fear, like I was gonna kill one of these things.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have safe places. And so that was one of those things where once that started, one of the best things that you did, and I have to give you credit for this, was you immediately took the environment that you had and you started to make it better. Mm-hmm. For what we actively had. And so I think that
I actually focused on what I had purchased and learned about them and figured that out.
Yeah. And that's when the book started. And that's when the pruning started. And that's
and the grow
when
lights, the which grow was lights a started. Huge game changer for us.
Yeah. And that was, you know, when I convinced you to clear out
the
a bookshelf and
I
helped you make a bookshelf. And that was, I think a lot of it was we never had an idea of let's do this together because I was completely and utterly bamboozled into falling in love with plants.
Like, what the hell is going on here?
But the little projects
got all weird.
Yeah.
Plants.
But the little projects were a really big part of it for us.
And that's interesting because the projects we built them, we built a bookshelf together. You had to drill the hole into the bookshelf for me to put the Mott Sprout grow bar in it. And we had to discuss what we were going to do in the kitchen with the grow house and the tiered shelves from IKEA. And anything that we've had to do together has kind of help that. And the other thing I want to say for the crazy plant people out there is find what your partner likes and then lean into that. Because I remember once I noticed that you really liked the herbs and when you asked for the lime tree, which was like the most sexy thing you had ever done, because I was just like, oh my God, he's recognizing my passion. Then like, you know, we talked about you also were like open to getting a lemon tree. And like for you, you've always really connected to like the plants that you can harvest and actually use. And I feel like we try and do that more with like expanding our balcony garden every summer and experimenting with growing herbs indoors. So let's dive into your tips. What are your hot tips for the partners of this plant community?
Sure.
We all go through that moment where we turn into crazy plant people or we start getting our first couple of plants. And if you have a partner or a roommate or a friend who hasn't had that light turned on inside them yet, what are your tips? What have you learned from this year that you want to share and teach and educate?
Well, on the one end, it's things that a person who is being brought along on a planty journey can do to sort of reset their equilibrium when things get crazy.
Yeah.
Then the other thing is how to interact with somebody who is in the throes of, you know, really falling in love with plants. And then the unexpected result, which is, you know, I started to really care about plants. It was one of those things that I still, to this day, if you had asked me a year ago, did you ever think you'd be into plants? I was like, no, not really. I like wood. I like metal. I love the look of wood and metal. Yeah. And I'm very stereotypical in that way. But it starts off with, you know, I talked about kind of setting your expectations early on. The first thing that you can do for yourself is realizing that those expectations are complete and utter nonsense. You can sort of direct the sails and trim them, but you can't change the direction of the wind. And you can kind of get on board. It's one of those things that it's not a good idea to reject somebody bringing living things into a house. That doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. It's not good juju. It doesn't add energy to a home. And you have to think about when you're saying no to a plant, you're literally saying no to bringing a living thing that makes your air better inside of your house. Mm-hmm. And if you go ahead and buy an air purifier, as opposed to getting a couple of really awesome plants, you've missed the opportunity. So realizing that whatever your expectations are, you have to open yourself up to be willing to change. That kind of goes right along with relationships. Like any time that I find myself being stubborn, if I look to the good parts about whatever you're interested in, I can always find a little nugget of something that I like. And that's taken me really, really far. And
yes, it has.
It's really allowed me to kind of move forward. But I can also weave in the things that I care about. Like the bookshelf was not entirely altruistic. It was a way for me to get plants off of
right.
flat surfaces, but to give them
economic,
a
home. Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, that would be, I guess, another tip. Look for ways to weave in your own passions. I love things organized. I love things to be efficient. I love things to be clean.
And building. You like building.
And stuff. I love building. And so, yeah. And when I posed that idea to you, you were so excited about it that it was a happy surprise for me because I thought it was going to be a fight, you know, putting all the plants on one spot. But
well, really, I had to donate all my books. I had to clear have the to bookshelf donate some books. Out.
I did have moment. To donate some books.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. One thing about setting expectations, I love now that you say you should bring plants in, they clean the air, don't turn a plant away. But I also think in the beginning, setting expectations, you also did a good job at communicating with me, hey, listen, this makes me uncomfortable, or I don't know why this is, you know, moving at this rate. And then we set expectations for the plant pause, saying, hey, for the next 3 months, let's not buy any more plants. These are my expectations. And you've also really gotten really good at, you know, when I have a repotting session, you'll say, listen, I need you to clean up after yourself. Like, I don't want to see soil on the floor.
Because
I think that was a big thing for you starting out. When I was a little less intentional just with how I was going about caring for things, like, there was soil on the floor. There was sticks on the carpet, you know? And you were able to kind of set expectations or intentions for me to kind of, you could kind of catch yourself. You would set me up for more success by being like, hey, I know you're going to do this. Can you please make sure this happens because of it? And I think that's important. And at the same time, I could also set expectations for you saying, hey, I want more plants. So how do
it's
we
funny how driven by the end
figure
that
this
is.
Out?
Yeah, it's like, I want this.
And right.
I have a lot of aspirations of doing things the right way. I was raised by people who there was one right way to sweep a floor. There was one right way to clean a car. There's one right way to do pretty much everything. And once you find that way, you work on that and you refine that craft.
Yeah.
And that's something that I had to kind of work with because I was not able to corral you into bringing plants into the house into the quote unquote right way because I didn't know the right way. And that was a huge opportunity for growth for me because when I don't know the right way to do something, I'm left to my own devices and to try to figure out the best way through and to muddle through just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one of the things that I could do was say, hey, let's not have fertilizer near the food because that's just not a safe thing to do. And
I did that once.
You know, thankfully, Maria has been, to your credit, you've been very, very open about learning about those things, even when they run counter to the just go, yeah. get more plants. But I think the biggest thing that really helped me was being able to find something that I personally could, it was a toehold, find a place where I could find an anchor and find something that I cared about and make myself a little bit more involved and care about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that allows me better standing, sort of a better pedestal to be able to talk to you about these things because this way we're not combating forces. We're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And that way, I'm not saying I'm the guy who doesn't want all the plants and you are the girl who wants all the plants. I mean, no, I'm the guy who likes plants, but needs to direct the crazy plant person.
And
guys, when she says crazy plant person, she really does mean it. It's something that's you're driven by something that you truly care about. And it's so inspiring. But for anybody who is with somebody like that, you need to get on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And that's your job. That's not, and by your job, I mean me. That's not Maria's job to kind of get me onto that wavelength, although it's helpful.
Well, it's my job to meet you halfway or meet you 20%.
But I got to get on the road first.
Yeah, and you got to turn towards me first.
Yeah. And so for me, it was one of those things where I started to find the herbs, the fresh mm-hmm. herbs, being able, I mean, I've gone to Whole Foods how many times and bought fresh vegetables and fruits and all those kinds of things. And to be able to come home and cook with herbs that I had already growing in the house that tasted so darn good.
Pretty cool.
It made everything better. And I could cook for you, which was one of my
things. The chives have been big.
Oh my God. Yeah. Chives on eggs all day.
So set expectations mm-hmm. is the first one. Then I think we talked about the plant pause mm-hmm. and how important that was for us, finding some sort of thing that we could do together, whether it's going on a plant pause or making a project together, doing a bookshelf or doing a grow wall or whatever. What other tips you got?
The other things I would say is find the parts of plant care that you like.
Okay.
There's so many different steps to plant care. It's much beyond just potting and watering and all these different things. I love harvesting.
Yeah.
And learning how to harvest herbs the right way.
Yeah. That was huge. It was very early on.
Oh,
way before I actually got into it.
Yeah.
You learned how to prune basil.
Yes. Yeah.
Before me.
I started to look at one of the things that I had realized is on an early chive plant, I had cut right from the middle and I had cut all the tops off just like you would mow a lawn. And they wouldn't really grow past that point and they would get smaller and smaller and they would get tougher and they wouldn't be as enjoyable to cook with. And I didn't know why, because I know people have had chives that stay living and they slowly prune them and they grow back. So I went on a bit of a journey to figure out how to healthily prune herbs that they would be able to grow back and I would be able to use them more.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of started off with scallions that I'd buy from the grocery store. Realizing that I could grow back a whole nother set of scallions. And for me, it was the savings. New York is an expensive city.
That's always, And growing your own, that's always what you've gone back to.
Yeah, I like to feel like I'm beating the system. Mm-hmm. And when you learn how to prune herbs and take care of fruit, and you're beating the system. Like, we had a strawberry plant, which is still one of my favorite stories.
I did a plant side chat about it.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely listen to that plant side chat. We had a strawberry plant that I had noticed that some of the leaves were turning red, and it looked like it was late in the season. It looked like we weren't going to get any more strawberries.
Yeah, I had left it for dead. I was ready for it to die back and just come back next year.
Yeah, and that's my thing. Like, I got really, really hooked on, I will not let a plant die unless it mm-hmm. absolutely has to as part of its life cycle. And I wanted more than one yield. I've always heard about, you know, fruit trees being able to give you a couple of yields in a growing period. And so I pruned back the strawberry plant. I took all the dead leaves off and I kind of trimmed it back a little bit. And all of a sudden, there was like 9 strawberries mm-hmm. that started growing on the thing.
Late in the season, too.
And they were incredible. And I felt so vindicated that I had been able to, like, and I was like, ha ha ha. I got extras because strawberries are expensive. You go to the grocery store, strawberries are expensive. And so to be able to grow more of them and just have them appear, and all I had to do was, you know, watch a video, kind of figure out what I had to do. Mm-hmm. And then with the basil, we had basil literally all year round that was fresh and perfect, because one of the things that I would do, even when we walk by a community garden sometimes, is I'll deadhead all the basil. I want it to keep growing.
You do that. You are a crazy botanical bro now. We were at a community garden and there was a little school garden that was planted, but it was the summer, and the basil had grown to like 3 feet tall, and it had all bolted. It was all flowers. And Billy, at like 7 p.m., we were just going on a walk. You started deadheading all the basil like a little crazy man.
You know, it's...
Who's the crazy plant lady now, Billy? That's what you're very passionate about, and you probably wouldn't do that. You know, you wouldn't get crazy about pruning like a normal houseplant, but for that, that really excites you. And that actually warms my heart.
That's the tip. Find the things that you love the most about plant care. And then allow yourself to go a little crazy.
Allow yourself to go a little crazy. Craziness loves your partner is gonna love company. It. Yeah. And I love it. I mean, when I see you get excited, and listen, we still have conversations where you're like, hey, Maria, slow your roll.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that new plant? Don't think I didn't see it when you brought it home. But it's so fun now for me to see you actually starting to get excited about little things. Now that we've had a year of settling and compromising and making it work, when you get excited about something, it's like the best feeling ever.
I have to take time to kind of thank you as well, because, you know, you thanked me at the beginning of this. But the truth is that no matter what you think you are interested in, you know, no matter what you think your individual drives are, I think one of the best things that I've come to understand in the last couple of years with you is that if you come to things with an open mind mm-hmm. and even a supportive mind, it doesn't have to be about anything other than you wanting to support the person that you care about.
Yeah.
You'll be very surprised about where you end up. I mean, I never would have thought that I would go to the New York Botanical Garden not once but twice in 1 year. I never would have thought. Yeah. And I never would have thought that I would have a house that's filled with plants. I never would have thought that this would be my individual future, and the fact that it's our future and present, it has been really rewarding in ways that I would not have realized had it not been for you coming to this first. And I think
just like I thought I would never go camping.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually I started going camping with you because you were so supportive of me in the beginning of the plan.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That I was like, you know what? Billy's a huge camper and I am not a huge camper.
And to be fair, if there are any guys out there or gals out there that are trying to get their partner to go camping with them and their partner happens to love plants, you can just say, let's go see bunches of them outside alive, already planted, and we don't have to water them.
Or be nice to them about their plant collection. They'll feel so loving towards you. That's where I was at, where I was like, okay, you're doing something I like. I'll do something you like. Let's go camping.
Oh, man.
Any other tips?
Yeah. One other one that I think is really important. I think everybody should propagate. I think everybody should find a piece of a plant or, you know, a cutting of a plant and learn how to propagate that plant. For me, that was one of the coolest things that I was able to do. And it started with this little breakfast place that we always go to, Cafe Henri.
Oh, the rosemary.
And and I get the same thing every time I go there. I'm locked and loaded. I walk in, I know what I'm getting, and I love routine. And they always put rosemary Like a big sprig of rosemary
in your omelet, and you're like not going
to
eat that
on the side of side of this plate, and you're not going to eat the rosemary, and so I pruned it back, and I successfully propagated an herb that was on the side of one of my plates, and I like asked for like a little napkin to roll it all, and I felt like an absolute Looney Tune when I was doing this, but I brought it back and got the thing to grow, and then harvested the rosemary later, and that is just like something from nothing, like. It felt so awesome to do that. And I think that it also speaks really honestly to your desire to let to help something grow from the very beginning. And I think that, you know, growing things from seeds is always really rewarding. But when you...
Growing the tomatoes from seed was a fun project for us too this year.
Oh, I mean, it's... But that's the thing. I think that everybody should learn how to propagate something, whether it's basil, which is incredibly easy to propagate, or something that takes a little bit more time, because it allows you to connect with just, I guess, the vitality,
the vitality
of plants, and, you know, learning how to do that and then sitting back and wonder as this actually happens. Granted, buy just some like, extra water glasses because you're not going to have all of them available for use. But it's, yeah, I mean, that would be the other thing. And then last but not least, it's really... just take some time in the morning before the screens, before, you know, the busyness of days, and just look around at the environment that you're in, because you've built your own little
jungle.
And, you know, we recently added a bunch more plants to the bedroom, and you wake up every morning and the sun's dappling through a monstera, and that's ridiculous. And now I know what a monstera is.
I know. Now you know what a monstera is.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. Whenever you started learning the names of the plants, I was like, you learned the name of the monstera?
Yeah.
But
it's like a flirty language.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so set expectations, find a common ground, find a project to do together, initiate a plant pause if you need to. And for the crazy plant listeners, maybe speak to your partner about doing a plant pause together. Maybe that's what you bring to the table. Find a plant that you like, find something that you connect to, and make that your thing. I know Danae from Folia Collective talked about on her episode how her husband, whose name is Bill, is really into staghorn ferns, and they have like 10 staghorn ferns, and she's not really into it, but that's what he does, and that's how he connects to plants. I thought that was interesting. Learn to propagate, or just like figure out what can make you marvel about plants, whether it's propagation, whether it's
For me, it's propagation,
a certain type growing a certain type of plant. Do you feel like there's anything you wish you did differently in our first year that like you might want to give advice to someone who's at the beginning stages?
Yes, I think that my stress level would have been a little bit better if I had encouraged for us to get the tools that you need early on. You know, I feel like we've gotten more tools to fix specific projects, but when you're repotting inside of a 500 square foot apartment, you should have something better than a beach towel or newspapers.
That potting tarp was such a game changer for us.
It really
and
is.
And getting the grow lights, like figuring out how to group plants together was huge.
But that's one of my things. Like, you know, if you see this happening, it's just like anything else. When somebody gets passionate about something, like if they start to love cycling, get them a helmet. You know what I mean? They get them the things that they need to be successful and to be safe.
Yeah.
And that will allow you to kind of feel like you're getting involved while at the same time giving the person a good framework to work inside of that you both can be happy in.
Yeah.
And so that would be the one thing. But more than anything, I think that when you're in a relationship specifically and you're hopelessly in love with
somebody.
And you
really, really, really like the other person, even if they're so stubborn and crazy.
Hopelessly in love.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, you need to look at yourself and you need to look at where any stress is coming from. And you need to look at the thing that the person that you care about is interested in. And really,
and
I don't know, give it its own credit. And let it stand on its own 2 feet and be like, okay, plants. If I was thinking about plants in a vacuum, there's nothing bad about plants.
Yeah.
That has really helped me because they are meditative. They're healthy. They're full of vitality. They make the air better. And at this point, I can say for the first time publicly that I am officially a plant person.
Oh, you're a botanical bro. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Welcome to the plant people club.
And I'm nowhere near. I'm definitely like JVB, like plant person. And there's still some things that I'm growing into, but
101.
I think that it's been quite the journey and it's been really, really exciting. And I have to thank you for bringing me along on it.
So plant friends, that's Billy, my plant co-parent, my partner in plants. I hope that your plant co-parents and partners in plants, ooh, that's a lot of peas, might benefit from this episode, and I hope you got some inspiration from it. I love that since I'm on tour now, Billy is going to be fully in charge of the plants while I'm gone. So expect to hear more from him and maybe see a little bit more of him on my Instagram as he helps me check in on all of my plant babies. And, you know, I think it's kind of sweet that when I started this podcast, I was a complete plant novice and I've learned a ton in the last year and a half. And now as I have left for this tour, Bloom and Grow on the Road and the Cats Musical Tour, Billy is kind of where I was when I started the podcast, The Beautiful Circle of Life, because I was the primary plant caretaker for our plants for the past year. So I'm really excited to watch Billy bloom and grow and learn more about our plants from him. And I think it might be fun to have him come back on the show and check in and see what he's learned from his novice standpoint, but we'll see how that all unfolds. One last reminder that today is the deadline to be featured on the upcoming Plant Fail Lessons episode. So if you're interested in sharing a story with our community, head to the show notes for more information on how to participate. And last but not least, thank you, Wally Grow, for sponsoring today's episode. I love that Wally Grow sponsoring today's episode because Billy and I really did have a really nice time installing this green wall together. And since it was fun and since we did do it together, I see him taking so much ownership over it now as he heads into being in charge of all of our plants and watering all of them. And speaking of watering, an interesting thing about the Eco Planters is they have an award-winning watering reservoir. Try and say that three times fast. But anyway, that fancy sounding thing can reduce your watering by up to 75%. So not only is the company sustainable, the ecos are made with 100% recycled plastic milk jugs in the USA, but it can also help you reduce your water usage. How cool is that? So visit wallygrow.com to check out their indoor and outdoor options for your urban jungles. And don't forget to use the code BLOOM20 at checkout for 20% off. Okay, plant friends, until next week, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram at @bloomandgrowradio. And plant friends, I'm here for you, so drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up. So you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.